Well, Greg, I heard you. Did you have an uncle pass away? I heard that. They got arrangements already made. And
tomorrow.
Book of Philippians. If we could go back in time a couple thousand years ago, we would found this particular piece of Scripture not in a book form, but in a letter form. Actually, a thank you note, so to speak. And a lot of the writings of Paul were actually letters that were written, and these people would receive the letters. Sometimes they would stand in a group setting and read it. Maybe the pastor would read it to the group, or maybe they'd pass the letter around and everybody read it. But these would be words from Paul, and we know Scripture is inspired. We know that this is from God's Spirit as He's led these men what to write. But Paul's personality definitely comes out in the letter, and Paul's feelings come out in the letter. And so Paul, every place Paul went, he led people to the Lord. And when he would go back there, it was like a family reunion to him. I understand a lot of that because I have led through the Lord all over the place, and I get to go back and visit their churches and different things. And it's always like family to me, anyway, when I go back there. And I'm sure Paul felt like he was being pulled between two or three different groups at times. But when Paul writes this, he's in prison. And Paul doesn't know if he'll ever be back to Philippi again. And so he writes him a letter. What I like about these letters, he really doesn't preach on sin. I always feel better when the preacher don't preach on sin, don't you? I always like encouraging messages. Sometimes the sin messages come out and the preacher preaches against stuff that we're doing. And that's always fun, but we get through that. But these are like the encouraging letters. And I like to read the encouraging letters. I'm going to read 9, 10, 11. Really, all my message is going to come from tonight. My message kind of come from a crazy, crazy place. My message came from the funeral that I attended Monday, my uncle's funeral. They played a song in my uncle's funeral called "I Wish You Were Here." How many's ever heard that song? It's a pretty cool song, and it's a song about somebody that's on heaven's side and thinking about those who are on the earth side, and they're saying, "I wish you were up here where I'm at enjoying what I'm enjoying." It's not somebody on this end wishing they were back here, right? That'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it? We want anybody to leave paradise plain. No pain, no sickness, no death, no troubles, no sorrow, no crying. We wouldn't want to leave that and come back to this sweet world, would we? No. So, this is from the other direction. Paul kind of says the same thing. He uses the word pray, but I want you to look at the way that Paul uses the word pray, and you'll understand why I come up with what I come up with. Paul says in verse 9, "In this I pray." So Paul's thoughts, or his prayers, or when he's talking to God concerning these people in Philippi, he's going to share what he wishes for them. This is what I wish for them. This is where I wish they were now in their place of life. So verse 9, we'll just look at it. He says, "In this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." So look at the first verse really quickly. He says, "I wish for you that your love would abound." What do you think he's meaning by "your love abound"? When something abounds, what does that mean, Brian? Abound.
Be overflowing.
Okay. Bigger, right? I want it to abound. I want it to be abundantly. So Paul said, "I want your love to be like more abundant." Then he says this, "In knowledge and in all judgment." So I really want us to spend 5 or 10 minutes here, because this is the most important thing I think I'll share with you tonight about where Paul was and where he wanted other people to be. Where do you think Paul's relationship with God was? Where do you think Paul stood with God?
Close.
Why would Jessica say close? But why Paul? Paul seems to be more loving, Calvin, than Thomas or Peter or some of the others. Why Paul has got all this bubbling love for God and this closeness to God? Why do you think?
Forgiveness so much.
Okay, I think that's where I was wanting to get to. Where Paul was in his life and what he was forgiven of. To whom much is given, much is required, right, Paul? Paul had been given abundance of forgiveness in Paul's eyes. I mean, when you look at Paul's testimony, Paul said Jesus came to save sinners, and Paul put it this way, in whom I'm chief. So out of all the world in which Paul lived, he felt like he was the worst sinner in the world. I'm going to tell you the honest truth. If you feel like that in your life, then your love for God is probably more so than somebody who doesn't feel like that. Because you realize where God has saved you from and brought you from really what you should have got. And so Paul is talking about this love and he said, I just want everybody to have what I got. This is so true in church. Especially with young Christians. When Brother Jamie got saved last year, Jamie, about 2 months later, he asked me this. I don't understand why people don't bring their Bibles, I don't understand. With what Jesus done for me, I don't know how anybody cannot read their Bible, and how anybody cannot pray, and how anybody cannot want to be at church and just get excited about it. And I told Jamie this, I said, give it time and you'll be like the rest of us. It's sad but true, right? How many of you were where Jamie was? How many of you right there tonight? How many are just kind of going on? I mean, you know, I'm not saying you're like living in the gutters of sin, but you get that joy, that excitement, that fervency of to serve God and realize what God has done for you. It kind of drifts, doesn't it? And so Paul is asking God. He's asking God. He said, God, this is what I wish for these people feel like because I love them so much. I wish that their love would just explode. And I want it to explode more in knowledge and in judgment. So here's the last part of my 10-minute message. Tell me what he meant by in knowledge and in judgment. When I was reading that, I thought of a verse in Daniel. So just mark your Bible right there. I won't do this about one more time tonight. So go to Daniel. We'll leave one other time. Go to Daniel chapter 12. I would have swore this verse was in the New Testament. How many like know verses but don't know where they're at? I got so many in my head, I don't know if it's where I've been put to sleep so many times. I don't know what it is. Or it's just been 52. But I can't remember where they're at. I just say they're in the Bible. It's in the Bible. But sometimes it needs to be more than just in the Bible to not even know where it's in the Bible. I would have swore this verse was in Matthew, but it was not. It was in Daniel. Chapter 12, verse 4, talking about the same thing Jesus talked about in Matthew 24. But this is what Daniel says. Daniel's given a prophecy about the last days and what it was going to be like and everything like that. Can you imagine living 6,000 years ago and God gave you a little glimpse of 2015? 6,000 years ago, and then God let you see the 2015. Would that have messed you up just a little bit? My papa that died last year was 103. Papa told me he remembered when the first car came to Pulaski County. He remembers seeing an airplane the first time fly over the county. He remembers men walking on the moon. And he also lived in a time where he Skyped on a phone to my son Josh. He lived when there was no electricity, no telephone, or television. He's seen all that happen in his lifetime. 100 years. I'm just trying to make a point. 100 years. What changed in 6,000 years?
Yeah.
So this is what Daniel wrote 6,000 years ago. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. And maybe Calvin's up there doing the math. I know it probably wasn't quite 6,000, but it's 4,000 or close. And he says, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro. I see that. To and fro. How many got some place to be as soon as I will hush? You've got places in the morning and places... How many got the week planned out? That's all of our... That's our life, right? We've got planner books. We've got them on our phones. We got pins marked on our calendars. So when that day pops up, something will pop up, what I got to do today. So he said, man's going to be running to and fro. And then he said this, and this is pretty cool. And knowledge shall what? You think Daniel knew about Wi-Fi? Facebook? Skype? What, we're live streaming? You think Daniel knew about live streaming? But he did know enough to say in the last days that knowledge would what? Increase. We are definitely living in an age more knowledgeable than the history of our world, don't you think? Probably. In our time we've accomplished more. I mean, I want one of those eye watches so bad I can't even stand it. Surely to goodness my 5 kids will chip in and I will get that for Father's Day, correct? Because it just looks like to me it ought to do something that I'm not doing already that it would do, right? So, it's just amazing what's next. What's next, what's next, what's next. When they put this device in February, my doctor said, this should do you for 5 years. Well, that's a little spooky at first, but then he said, in 5 years there'll be something new out there. And I'm like, yeah, that's what we're talking about. You know, maybe I'll just plug in every night for a while and go on. What's that called? You do your computer that way?
Sleep mode.
Huh?
Sleep mode.
Sleep mode, yeah, standby, whatever. That's what I'll go on to. We can't get the password. He's on sleep mode right now. And it'll go off. I'll be recharged. We'll go. Who knows? I mean, that sounds ridiculously crazy, doesn't it? But I don't think... I seen the other day walking out of UK hospital a guy with a backpack, and he's actually... The backpack has got his artificial heart that's keeping his other heart going so he can get a transplant. It's a backpack. He's running around with a backpack, and inside the backpack... got the thing that's pumping, making his heart work until you get a transplant. Isn't that cool? You know, 50 years ago, he's dead and buried, and the family's still mourning his death. Today, he's walking around with a backpack. Or maybe, I said 50 years ago, five years ago, he wouldn't be walking around with a backpack. Times are changing, things are going, and so when Paul writes this letter to Philippi, did you think he meant what when he said that you may have found more in knowledge? What's he talking about? I want y'all to be just more computer literate. What's he talking about? He wants us to grow more in the knowledge of God's love. Got the worst illustration in the world, but it's the best I can do. When Rochelle and I were about to have our first date, she had a graduation party. Her mom and dad had a graduation party. And Shell could invite some of her nearest and dearest friends. I happened to be on that list. I don't know how, but I was. So I showed up at the party. At the party, Rochelle and I kindly got a little closer. And it got to the point that I asked her out for a date the next night. Well, there were two other guys at her party that had the same plan. And one of them bought this humongous bouquet of flowers, and the other bought a teddy bear. And I looked like, what kind of lame guy would bring a teddy bear, right? But Eric, she chose me. I made sure those guys knew that she chose me, and we would go out. There was other guys trying to date her at the same time, one of them actually pulled off a date. But she realized that I was the pick of the litter, and she stuck with me. So what began to happen next was what we call dating, which people don't do anymore, but it's where you start to get to know somebody. Because I want to know what her favorite drink was, Jesse. And I found out it was Mountain Dew. So when she's at work some nights, I might just pull in there with the Mountain Dew. See, back in 1980, we had them in the bottles. Y'all remember Jessica's mom remember? Jessica's like, what, bottle? Yeah, we had them in bottles. Returnables, by the way.
Right.
I'd have her nice cold Mountain Dew. And I found out a few more days that Snicker candy bars was her favorite candy bar. So I would sometimes just leave her a Snicker candy bar and a Mountain Dew. And the more I learned about her, the more I wanted to use those things. On her, when we were leaving the wedding, headed to our honeymoon, I stopped at a little gas station and got her what? Say it, class. To do that? And still today, if she's having a bad day, we break the paleo. It's off, Greg. And they still make Mountain Dews in the bottle, just not returnable. You got to drive a little bit. You got to go out of Liberty sometimes. But it's worth it. And you get her a candy bar and a Mountain Dew. And for 33 years, I've been learning more and more about her. I've learned when she's mad what I need not do. I learn when she's stressed what I need to do to help the stress. I've learned what not to do to help the stress too. So what I'm saying is, our relationship, I don't think, has ever come full circle yet, because we're still going through things. And so the more I spend time with her, the more I know her. Would you call that knowledge? I would think so. Now, see, I can get on Wikipedia, and I can look up all the stuff about Jesus I can find. It'll tell me all kinds of stuff. But that's really not what Paul's talking about. Paul said, if you want to get to know Jesus, I'm going to give you a heads up. I could have called her mom and said, what's Rochelle's favorite drink? And she would have probably said, Diet Pepsi or something. Because her mom probably really didn't even know. I knew because I spent time with her, and I'd watch her order. I knew that she didn't like McDonald's hamburgers, but she liked McDonald's fries. And we'd go get McDonald's fries and walk over to Wendy's and get her a single cheese, lettuce, mayonnaise, and onion. If I had onion. How'd I know that? How'd I know that, Jesse? Because I stood in line with her, and when she ordered, I listened. You spend time with somebody. And why do I want to do that stuff, Ryan? Because I wanted to make a good impression, right? And I wanted her to know that I really cared about her more than the guy at the teddy bear, by the way, right? And just a little side note about the boy at the teddy bear. He ended up marrying another girl, but he named his daughter Amanda Rochelle after my wife. He just can't get over that I won. It's okay. I just remind him every once in a while. Paul was saying this, and I think this is where we missed the boat. I think when it comes to Church Brother Godly, we've got smarter people in the Bible than we've ever had. We've got seminaries, we've got people being educated, we've got Bibles on our phones. I think people know Bible. I think people know Scripture. I think people's learned Greek and Hebrew. And Paul wasn't even talking about any of that. Paul said, this is what I want you guys to do. I just want you to spend time with Jesus so you will know Him better. And that's really what Jesus said about Himself in Matthew 11. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and what? Learn of me. The more you learn about Jesus, the more you're going to understand His love. And that's how you're going to abound in love. Then He used the word judgment. What do you think about that? I did look up the translation. I'm not big on that, but I did this because I didn't think He's really talking about the great white throne judgment or anything in this particular verse. He's talking about insight. so that you might know, you might make some judgment calls in your life. See, Brian, the more I know Jesus' way of thinking, the more I know how I should react to certain things, and the more I should know what I'm supposed to be doing at certain times. Does that make sense? Because I've spent time with Him, I've learned insight about Jesus, how Jesus thinks. By spending time with Rochelle, I know how she thinks. I know at 9:35, if nobody's at our house visiting, she will be asleep on the couch. At 11 o'clock, I will go to bed and watch the news. I will either get her up, or I will try. If she doesn't get up, I will call her on her phone. And sometimes she doesn't hear that, and I will text angry, "Go back down and get your mom and bring her to bed." I know all of that because I have spent time with her. I have insight. She gets up early. She goes to bed early. She worked hard all day. I got insight on that. And I know what's next. I know how it's going to happen because I've spent time. And I want you to know that Paul said, "I wish I could get you all to know this. I'm praying that you all will figure this out. But you need to spend time with Jesus so you will know Him better than you've ever known Him, so you'll have the insight with Him." Then he goes on and says this, "that you may approve the things that are what?" I read one place, I think it's in Romans 12, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is what? Reasonable service." This does not say that. The word excellent really means your best service. How many of you want to do just mediocre work for the Lord? Let me rephrase the question. How many of you feel like you do mediocre work for the Lord? How many feel like you give God your best? Freshness. How many of you feel like you give God maybe like some leftover energy? I think if we're honest, I mean, we're busy, we're so in tune to things, but hear what Paul says. Remember, this is what he's wishing for them. Because Paul came to a place in his life where nothing even mattered anymore. And Paul said, "You know what I wish? I wish you all were like me, and all I want to do is just spend time with Jesus." He said, "Well, preacher, I just can't spend time with Jesus all the time." Paul said, "I wish you could. I just wish you could." Because Paul said, when it's all said and done, smoke all clears, really nothing in this life is going to matter except what you've done for Him. Right? And so he says, I just want you to give it your best. I want you to be able to approve that. I want you to look at stuff and say, that's bad for me. Because if I do that, I will not be able to give God my best. Doesn't that kind of sense, sort of? And I read this and I understand that. I understand that I make bad decisions. How many make bad decisions daily? I'm not saying weekly, monthly. How many's like me at the end of the day said, like, "Well, if I could go back and redo some things today, wow, that would not have happened. That would have went different right there." So Paul is saying, if I'm walking with Him and spending time with Him, really getting to know Him, as I'm doing that, I'm going to be able to make better decisions so I might be able to do the best for Him. Then he says this, and I just want to get to this part anyway before I have to quit with you. "That ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ." Two things. The word sincere. What does that mean? Sincere? Real?
From your heart?
Completely honest with yourself.
Completely honest?
Genuine.
These are the words that I'm looking for. Genuine, pure. This is a word that actually has a meaning to it. It was actually a thing that would happen when the potter was making pottery and it would crack. He could take wax and melt wax and fill that crack. And inside a kind of dark room where you'd buy pottery, you would never know that it had ever been patched. And so they brought it out into the sunlight, and the light would let a light spot show through, and you would know that that had been patched. That's called sincere. Putting a pot to the light test. I thought that was pretty cool. Y'all can like, oh, that's so great, Brother Steve. I can't believe you've learned that tonight. It's true. It's true. I learned it in Bible Manners and Customs, and I thought that was real cool because I just thought sincere was a word. So now when I read this, I put that whole scenario into play. When he said, I want you to be sincere, what is he saying? That's what I just told you. What's he saying? Don't be a crackpot, right? No, that's not what he's saying. What's he saying? This is where I put it, Kim. I put that the light's Jesus. So when I put things in light of Jesus, it's going to show if this has been pure. What's the word you use, Greg? Genuine. Or it's been waxed over a little bit. Have I ever stood in a pulpit and not been genuine? Yes. I've come and been in the flesh. Come, preach a message, didn't even want to be there. I've done that before, Sheila. I'll be honest. How many of us have done something that's not been genuine? I think we go through, I think Bible schools and camps, I've been just sitting and thinking about this all week. How much of the stuff are we being genuine with? We genuinely want to do this. I think if we genuinely don't want to have Bible school, we shouldn't be playing Bible school. If you genuinely, I can't even say the word, Greg, say it for me. Genuinely. Feel like it's got wine in it or something. If I want to do something, it's got to be with God's light in mind. Because what I'm about to read with you, I think will prove what I'm saying. See, everything that Steve Meese does is going to be put in light of Jesus. So go to 2 Corinthians 5, and this is the kind of the last thing he's saying, I think, in the last part of that verse. He says, that I might be without offense till the day of Christ. So go to 2 Corinthians 5. Y'all know it, but I'm going to read it. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9. I genuinely had planned to let you all out early. I'm still genuinely trying. I'm going to get that word down before I leave. Wherefore, verse 9, 2 Corinthians 5, wherefore we labor, that whether present or what? We may be accepted of Him. Whether I'm right here with Him, or I'm out here working and He's up there, that I will be accepted by Him. What I'm doing, He's looking down and saying, I accept that. That's good. That's genuine. I got it. Do you hear that? Play that back, Calvin, can you? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. If you read the translation, this is called the Beamer seat. We're in verse 10. Remember what I said? How do you know that clay pot's got a crack in it? It's been plastered over? See, you put water in it, it won't leak because that wax has filled the cracks and everything's cool. So it's still functionable, but it's not pure and perfect, Brian. So how is God going to look at me and say, Steve, that wasn't pure and perfect and genuine? 2 times I said it. That's good. I'm keeping count. We're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in his body. You ever said I was there in spirit? That don't count. He's taking records of the things you did in body. You had to physically be there. Well, I was thinking about y'all when I was on the cruise ship. No, you wasn't. He was not thinking of us. You're thinking of us when we're here in the body, right? Listen, I'm all for vacations. We all need them. Some of you need one tonight. I hope you get one soon. But here's what he says. He says that we may receive the things done in his body, look, according that he hath done, whether it be what? I said this to my cousin the other night. And this is just true. I said, all the memories I have of your dad standing here today are all funny and fun memories. Now I know if I sit down and get serious, there's some bad things, it's memories. But it seems like I'll remember the good stuff. Have you ever noticed that when somebody like dies and it seems like all the bad stuff kind of disappears and I just remember the good stuff? That's not going to happen when you die, just bringing that out. When you stand before Jesus Christ, He's going to get you to give a record of your life that's been done for Him, whether it's been what? Or genuine or not genuine. Right? I got two of them in that time. Did y'all catch that? And so what God's looking at and what Paul is wishing for, because Paul's working his way down, Paul knows that one day you people in Philippi are going to stand before Jesus Christ. And I'm just letting you guys know, if you will live close to Him now and get to know Him better, you're going to make better decisions. So when you go stand before Him, you're not going to have a lot of bad decisions you've made. It's going to be pretty sincere. I think that's pretty good stuff. Then he said this in closing, in verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. We work at this too hard. The Christian life should not be hard.
Amen.
It should be natural. My dad-in-law, as far as I know, I don't know anybody else that has one of these in any area close to him, has got a horse apple tree in his yard. I don't know if you all know what horse apples is. I know my dad does. My granny used to have one. Mom and dad had one. But here's what I know. Her dad has one. And me and another guy fight over them. So I was down there last week, and I walked up to the horse apple tree. And I heard that horse apple tree. You've got to get really close to hear this, Greg. So I heard that horse apple tree going. And I looked, and an apple popped out. An apple popped out. It's the wildest thing I ever saw in my life. It's crazy. Y'all got to come see it. Down toward Burnside. Then what's happening? Is that tree working to make apples? How does it make apples? That's how it does. It's naturally supposed to make apples. Tree planted in the ground. It bloomed in the spring. Some bees flew around. Did what the bees do. And now it's got little apples. I didn't hear one grunt coming out of that tree, Brenda. I listened too. I mean, the neighbors thought I was great. I was never like. But I'm going to tell you how we operate, John. We're all working, trying to make some fruit. You can't make stuff that's supposed to come natural. If you and I just do what we're supposed to do, Greg, the fruit will come natural. That's what's supposed to come from Christians. That I'm supposed to be forgiven. I'm supposed to be long-suffering. I'm supposed to be patient. I'm supposed to be kind. What's going to make me more like that? Because everybody's trying to figure it out. We're going to, you know what, I'm going to document this. This is where I'm weak at. This is where I'm going to focus on that. I don't read that in the Bible. What I'm reading, what Paul said, y'all correct me if I'm wrong. We're done. Read, tell me if I'm wrong. Paul said, you just need to get close as you can to Jesus and just know Him. Hang out with Him. Get to know Him. Get to know how He thinks. Get to know what He expects. And then, your fruit will just come natural. want to struggle and try. You'll come natural. Now, I did notice those horse apple trees had a lot of bugs in them. You know what would do any good right now to spray for worms? Y'all know where the worms are? They were in the bloom. So why do you think, how come you think our fruit may be a little tainted? Where's our worms at? I didn't even mean to say this, Brother Eric. This guy just like stuck in. But as I was thinking, it's making sense to me. We might have some trouble on the inside, right? We might have some heart trouble that we need to get working with. What will help my heart trouble? Spend time with Jesus. I know that sounds like a cop-out tonight to you, but it's not. Paul said, my wish is, I want you to be where I'm at. What do you think Paul's doing while he's training the two guards? Spending time with Jesus. And he knows what to say. He knows what to say when they beat him and stoned to death and he dusted himself off and walks back in there. How does he know how to react? Because he'd been spending time with Jesus. What did Jesus do when he fell under the cross, Brian? And he crawled back up, didn't he? And he continued to make his way. Why? Because he had to finish what he started. Or it all went to hell. And so by Paul hanging out with Jesus, he figured out, you know what I got to do? I got to finish what I started because you did. So by hanging out with Jesus, he learned more about life. How did Jesus get the strength to do that? Hang out with Jesus, you'll figure it out. If you read the next verse, I think it's verse 12, Paul says, all these bonds that I've been in, all this trouble I've been in, all this sickness I've got, was for one purpose. Anybody know what the purpose was? What did he say in verse 12? I know y'all looked ahead. Somebody surely did. For the furtherance of the gospel. I had like a scare run yesterday. I woke up yesterday morning and I had a black toe with a knot on it. Now, if you're Steve Meese and you've had cancer on a toe, panic mode. Shell's calling Vanderbilt. I said, see if you can get me in with the doctor over here. She said, Aaron's got an appointment this afternoon. I said, I'm going with you. So after we've seen Aaron's doctor, I just said, Doc, can you take a look at my foot? Sure, I'll take a look at your foot. Pull the sock off. He said, well, let's get an x-ray. So all last night I had to sleep on that. But while I'm in the doctor's office, somebody walked through the door that she looked familiar. We're all trying to, I don't know who that is. We call him the wrong name. And then Joel walked in, Joel Cross, the man from the senior office. Ah, that's his wife. She looks so sickly. Last time I seen her, she's went downhill a bunch. And she just beelined over to me. You know how she is. She's very backward, doesn't talk. She beelined over to me and she just starts talking, telling me all that's going on. Then she says, would you pray with me before you go? What about the toe? Found out today there was no fracture. And Vanderbilt says, if the doctor down here says you're good with me, we're good. Why did I go through all that? So I could pray with her in the doctor's office yesterday. I don't have no doubt. Because I wouldn't have went with Rochelle and Aaron. I wouldn't have done that. But God knew she'd walk in that place. And God knew that she needed somebody to pray with her. And there I am. Y'all think I'm a nut, don't you? I'm telling you that every day of your life, God's trying to move you to where you can let somebody else hear about Jesus. And the only way you're going to be able to do that is if you stay in tune. Because I'm going to be honest with you, Kiona, when that thing popped up, I went in prayer mode. Cyber prayer mode. I mean, I'm like hunkered in prayer mode. Now, I think I realize today, Dean, I should be like that every day. If I was in tune that good with God yesterday that I knew, man, I need to be like that every moment of every day. I shouldn't wait for a toe to swell up to think I'm dying of cancer again before I do that. So Paul said, I just wish y'all were where I am. And I'm just telling y'all tonight, we all can be there. But you're going to have to get to know the Savior better. So if nothing else, the rest of the week, spend time with Jesus. How do you do that? Read about Him. But I think you know more about somebody, Brother Ralph, by talking to them than you know about reading about them. What do y'all think? This is how I know. I talk to them. Are you talking to Him? And so that's our job. That's our goal, to know Him more. So the fruit will come naturally. And we might be, I'm going to do it one more time, we might be genuine. Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, thank You today for Your Word. Thank You for guidance in our life. And Lord, sometimes the crazy times in our life are when You become the realest to us. Lord, I understand tonight what Paul is saying, and I just pray we all can walk out with a better mindset of what Paul is saying. He just wanted us to get to know Jesus better, and the only way we can do that is spend time with Him. So Lord, my prayer tonight is that we will do that. That we might be not just a church that gathers week to week and service to service. But Lord, we might be a church that is genuinely wanting to serve You and wanting to see lost people saved and people's lives changed and marriages healed. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to be that kind of a church. Thank You for Your Word. In Christ's name, amen.